The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by Parmar and also the Masters Law Firm. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. As we enter into October, West Virginia sitting at 4-1. With a victory over TCU 24-21 in Fort Worth. And now that puts the record for West Virginia and TCU at 8-5. And they seem to perform well at Fort Worth. Who would have thought? Who had West Virginia 4-1 in September?
Avon.
I reluctantly had my Mountaineers at 4-1. Actually, I had them at 5-0. I thought we had a chance with the new quarterback at Penn State, but no. But yeah, I was that guy. Yeah. Say it one more time. Who had him?
Avon.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. He's rolling.
So Avon's leading the crew at 4-1 with predictions so far. But I don't think a lot of people at the preseason thought West Virginia was going to be 4-1.
I mean, I didn't.
But here we are. So let's start with the offense. Last night, West Virginia, 343 yards with the return of Garrett Green, who was not supposed to start. Apparently, Nico tweaked his ankle in practice Wednesday, so they had to go with Green.
Yeah, to me, I thought it was I was happy, but I was sad because I thought Nico, it was just we were winning. But at the same time, I mean, Nico threw for like 70 yards and then 60 yards. I'm like, we can't win at all with that. But, you know, as we go, that was who we had. So I said, let me jump on the Nico Markiel train.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see Nico again last night. I won't lie. But if he got hurt, he got hurt. It's a good thing Green could go. It's a good thing you have, like, viable options, I guess, at quarterback. Neither one of them is the greatest passing option. They don't throw for a lot of yards. But, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, Green is what he is at this point. He is a good runner, and that was shown last night. You know, he kept the sticks moving, you know, moved the offense down the field, led West Virginia to a huge win. They're 4-1. I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah, I wanted to see Nico as well. I was wrong on that. I think you need Green's wheels, and he threw a couple of good balls over the middle of the field. 142 is better than 82 passing yards-wise, so we'll take it at this point, but not world beaters.
I'll tell you what, he sold me last night, and the moment he sold me was when he was in the face of the TCU defense leading the charge. You know how usually it is, the quarterback will start jawing, then they'll step back and let their guys handle it. Not this guy. And I think that's what a team like this needs, is a quarterback and some leadership that's going to show a little fire and step into it and lead the team with some attitude and, you know, a little bit of personality. Because, well, I'm not going to go there. I got to keep it positive. I got beat up on Twitter last night because I'm negative. So I'm not going to go there just yet.
Let your haters be your motivators.
Let's talk about the rushing game. 201 yards on the ground last night. Garrett Green showed his wheels, 80 yards, even took one for 35 yards around the outside.
Yeah, the run game to me was we had 200 yards, but it was hard to watch. A 250-pound running back tiptoe like he did last night. I was so upset. And I mean, I don't blame him because, I mean, he's transitioned from a tight end to a running back. I blame his coaching because those are you know, he's played, you know, 2 years now. So he should have seen the film on how to, you know, third and short to go and get it. You know, obviously there's going to be mistakes made, but then you get down to the goal line and it happened. I'm like, I was very, very upset in our run game. I mean, we did run for 200 yards, which was always good. You know, in a Neil Brown team, you run for 100 yards. You have a 100 yard rusher, you tend to win the game. We ran the ball fairly well. But I was upset at my boy, CJ.
I mean, you know, it's great to run the ball that way, and that's what we've all talked about all year long. You need to run the football to win. Running for 200 yards is a recipe for a win. It's no secret that when you run for 200, generally you win. They won last night. Donaldson, though, on the other hand, it's like he's hesitant to the hole or something. And a couple, like on the, he had a third and one and on the goal line play on the fourth down. I didn't agree. I mean, I don't care that they went, well, obviously the third down, you got to go for it. They ran a stretch play with him, though. I don't like that stretch play. He needs to get the ball and go straight ahead on third and short, fourth and short. They were trying to get him outside, which I didn't really understand. I believe White would be a better option if you're going to run to the outside. And, I mean, you can't just throw White in there to run outside. Everybody's going to know that's what you're going to do. But at the same time, it's like Donaldson's hesitant this year or something. I don't know. There's something missing there.
Yeah, it bothered me a lot. I'm like, man, this guy, you can't be 240 doing that. Like, you really can't.
I think the coaches noticed it, too, because if you notice, they took him out. And they pretty much stayed with Jaheim White, who ended up with 5 carries, 47 yards. But he was getting them at an average of 9 per carry. Mm-hmm. So it looked like they took him out at a certain point. But until the game was like, all right, it's crunch time. We can't leave a freshman. We don't want the freshman to fumble. Let's go with Donaldson. And they were trying to chew up the clock. Then they started giving it to Donaldson again. But honestly, I think it's going to get boiled down to two guys. And then if White continues to perform like he did last night, you're going to start to see less of C.J. Donaldson, in my opinion.
It was hard to watch. I mean, it to me, I was so frustrated in the fact that this guy is so big and he was running so – I mean, he had one good run to the right, and I'm like, he lowered his shoulder – and I was like, that is exactly what we need. Like, this dude needs to run like this every play. If I was the coach, I would rewind that and say, this is what we need. Go to his other play. Look, hold on, let me go back. This is what we need. And they have those clips set up like that.
Yeah. I mean, he has to learn to drop his shoulder and move the chains. It was Kentucky. Well, I want to talk about that running back later. He ran into a play where he had two defenders coming at him. He got lower and split him and kept on going. And that's what you got to do. I'm hoping to see more of that from Donaldson. But again, I think you're going to start to see some challenges from some other running backs if he continues to tiptoe. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the defense. Also, later in the show, we got the Alumni Hall trivia question of the week. And we'll do all that after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Text the guys questions or comments at 304-9696-TDC. That's 304-9696-TDC.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show as we continue to celebrate the West Virginia victory over TCU as they move into the month of October 4-1. Earlier we talked about the offense. Let's switch to the other side of the ball and talk defense. First of all, the first half last night, as Charles Barkley would say, terrible. Terrible. They gave up over 300 Bills in the first half. I thought we were going to get blown out.
I did too.
And because they were making stupid coaching decisions that prevented them to keep scoring. But I've got to take my hat off to Jordan Leslie. I sit here and trash him every week on the air. Got to tip my hat, man. He made some adjustments at halftime. 0 points in the second half.
I mean, they had like negative 1 yard in the third quarter. I mean, I hate to give this small ball coach a hip hip hooray, but I got to give it to him. I mean, because he's the leader of it. He definitely got him ready. He got him ready second half. I mean, I thought we were, like you said, I thought we were going to get blown out. I thought, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a track.
It's a lot of yards.
And we don't have the horses to run in that type of a race.
Bump him to $350 an hour.
I was ecstatic with the defense last night in the second half. They gave up nothing. Congratulations to Coach Leslie, because they did a phenomenal job at halftime adjusting. And, you know, since that Duquesne game, they've been very good on defense. I think they've given up they gave up 17 to Duquesne, which was a bad showing, but 6, 13, and 21, and all that 21 came in the first half. He has guys in positions. We talked about it. We were like, you know, if the guys are in position to make a play and they miss, fine. Last night they missed 4 interceptions. He had guys in position to make plays. The guys have to make the plays. Kudos to the defensive staff, because I thought they did an outstanding job last night.
After playing against Morton, a backup in Jurkovic, you wanted to see if this defense was for real. And to your point, in the first half, you start to think, okay, maybe it is going to be a long year, and they make the adjustments.
TCU's offense is actually pretty good, folks. You know, Bailey is a good running back. They held him to 55 yards. They were going to force Chandler Morris to throw the ball, which he had to throw it 41 times last night. But he wasn't very accurate, because he was getting chased around, and they got him 5 times.
But we actually didn't force him to didn't play 9 guys in a box. We were playing coverage. We were playing our normal defense, as far as what I saw. And it's just stupid coaching. Like, they would not give this guy the ball. And you seen when he got the ball, he was chewing us up.
And I think the TCU's point, I think West Virginia held them, they're the first team to hold them under 30 all year. I think they've scored 30 or more in every game. I know they got 36 against Houston, 42 against Colorado, and I think they got 38 or something against SMU. So I think they're the first team to hold them under 30 all year.
And so one of the reasons why I think they were off was – their head coach was dealing with death. I don't know if you guys listened to
his brother-in-law or something.
Yeah, his brother-in-law, and they were pretty. I mean, that kind of distorts you. And I'm not happy for the death. I'm happy that he wasn't on his best game. I would say that.
Overall, whatever the other coach wants to do, that's his prerogative. If he don't want to give your best player the ball, you go right ahead. I'll take that on. Like, yeah. If Oklahoma wants to come out there and not throw the football against West Virginia, I'll be more than happy to try to shut their run game down.
Jeez. Yes, I'm with you. And I'm just so – I'm internally negative, because I do not like the staff. I just don't think they're going to put us in a position to win when it counts. I think the players are winning in spite. That's just me being negative, so you guys can slap me around a little bit, because I'm never not a negative person, I'm never negative. Let me say that.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel, and you know, anything before the butt don't matter. So yeah, I'm definitely not high on our staff right now.
How do you think losing Lathan and Burks will affect this defense moving forward?
Lathan a lot. Because that's a sideline-to-sideline playmaker. And he was stuffing the run game, too. He was coming up with some big stops.
Absolutely.
I think Burks is kind of a – I don't know which one's more a worse loss, because they're both, in my opinion, big loss. Burks came on – he was the player of the game against Texas Tech. He was phenomenal. He's kind of one of those leaders, too, on your defense. But, yeah, I think we might have a little more depth at Burks' position, but it's not much. I don't know. They're both big losses. I don't think either one can be.
I think
one.
Burks will be back, though. I mean,
we have
a bye week.
He might be back, yeah.
I think he'll be back for our next game.
Lathan's out. He broke his leg.
Yeah, he broke his leg.
That was awful.
He's done. But I think Burks will be back. And, I mean, they responded because of that. So, I mean, I was, you know, when you get that type of a break, you just like, how are they going to respond? And
especially when your guys are getting carted off.
Right.
You got two guys carted off.
That's why I credit the defensive staff for what they pull. Like, they're losing starters, like key players, and they still shut TCU out completely in the second half. I mean, I think it was either minus 1 or 1 yard in the third quarter,
yeah.
Which you can't ask a defense to do better Absolutely. Than that. The only thing you can ask your defense to do is that, hey, guys, go score 3 touchdowns.
For sure. I mean, they did that. Negative yards is just like scoring touchdowns.
Yes, I mean, there's nothing more you can do.
And I think we have a really special kid up there. Lee Koba kid's pretty good. He's damn good.
He's an NFL player.
Yeah. Reminds me, he's a David Long type of good. Not in the same skill position. Well, both linebackers, but right. he's good, man. He's the glue that's holding this defense together right now. He had 8 solo tackles. I think he had 3 or 4 other tackles.
He had a sack.
Assist and a sack. Looked good yesterday. So let's talk a little bit about special teams real quick before we take the break. Blocking 2 field goals. I mean, when's the last time West Virginia blocked 2 field goals in the one game?
I'd venture to say it was about 2002, I think.
2000 against Miami. Your guy Taylor Kennedy wrote something about it today.
I thought they did it against Boston College.
I'll have to look it up during the break. But it's been a while, and they were game-saving. I mean, they attempted it twice, and they blocked them. And if they hit them both, West Virginia loses.
Here's what we can say about special teams. We haven't talked about them all year, so that's probably a good sign. Usually we're complaining about how bad they are year to year. From 1980 to 22, they've been bad.
Very true. Very true. All right, when we come back, Michael Sussman will have the locker room report. And don't forget the Alumni Hall trivia question. The phone number is 304-9696-TDC. We'll do all that after this.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salengo. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salengo Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salengolaw.com.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have 3 locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barboursville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
Hello, it's Michael Sussman here with your Touchdown City Week 5 Locker Room Report. The West Virginia Mountaineers pulled out a gritty 24-21 win over the TCU Horned Frogs Saturday night in Fort Worth. Coach Brown at the podium afterwards.
This was a fight, and we're a team that's kind of built for ugly football, for fights. We have a really tough team that's really close, and it's a group that's grown together. Our back's been against the wall. Nobody's believed in us.
After some question during the week, West Virginia started the year's original signal caller, Garrett Green, at quarterback. It was the first time Green saw the field since going out early with an ankle injury in the Week 3 win over Pitt.
Garrett went out on Tuesday, and he really wanted to go, and he was probably 75%. And Nico was healthy. Wednesday, right at the end of practice, Nico rolled his ankle. Thursday morning, it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to be able to go, that Nico wasn't going to be able to go. I told Garrett, I was like, hey, everybody else in meetings, you go suit up. You didn't throw yesterday. Let's see what it looks like. And if you can push off your back foot to throw it, which is his ankle, I said then, all right, if you can show me, this is your opportunity. If you can show me you can play and be close to 100%, then it's your chance.
And now we get to the action. TCU scored just 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the game on a 59-yard touchdown pass from Chandler Morris to J.P. Richardson. Richardson caught a slant route and blew past the second level of West Virginia's defense, as Coach Brown talked about postgame.
If you go look at that play that Richardson had, and he's a good player, but we're really close to picking it off, you know. And then credit to him, he's gotten faster. Like, I noticed that on tape. He's considerably faster than he was at Oklahoma State, and he takes it to the house.
On the ensuing drive, WVU answered with a 6-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. It was capped off by Garrett Green turning on the Jets to score from 36 yards out.
Yeah, we had kind of a post-corner concept to the trip side. And they ran a 2-man, which is something that we didn't really get in practice. We didn't see that look in practice. So I felt him get lost inside, and then when I stepped up, I felt the zone to my – I really wanted to slide. I was looking to slide, and then I was like, There's a lot of green grass in front of me, so I just kept it moving, and, you know, guys did a great job blocking for me downfield.
Both teams then traded touchdowns to make it 14-14 with 2 minutes left till the half. Chandler Morris then delivered his second and last touchdown throw of the night, finding Dylan Wright over the middle for a 36-yard catch and run. All in all, it was a shaky first half for the Mountaineer defense, which allowed 21 points and 300 yards.
We just settled down. We're better than what we played in the first half. So, and then they had a couple big plays. You know, they had the 4th and 3 that they scored right before half. You know, and that kid's a good player too. He can run.
An entirely different unit came out of the Mountaineer locker room and pitched a shutout the rest of the way. Flying around all game was linebacker Lee Koba, who led WVU with 11 tackles.
We just bowled up. You know, we realized that, you know, we didn't have the best first half at the defense. So, you know, we came in at halftime, realized that we had to play harder, you know, in order to win the game, and that's what we did.
With the contest knotted up at 21 early in the fourth quarter, West Virginia marched it all the way down to the Horned Frog 1. On fourth down, real deal Neil Brown rolled the dice and went for it. C.J. Donaldson was held up for a loss, forcing a turnover on downs and giving it right back to TCU.
And that situation played out about how we thought. I think anytime it's less than 2 or 3 down there, you go for it. Even if you don't get it, you know, I still think it's the right move. If I had to do it over again, probably would have went for the one in the first half.
After a clutch stop by the defense, Mountaineer receiver Rodney Gallagher ripped a 15-yard run to put kicker Michael Hayes within field goal range. And the Georgia State transfer came through, drilling a 49-yarder to make it 24-21 Mountaineers.
Yeah, those are tough field goals to make. We made two. One of them got called back because of a penalty, but those are tough.
At the 4:47 mark, the West Virginia block party started. Mike Lockhart was the first to attend as the D lineman rejected a 46-yard TCU field goal attempt.
Yeah, so we was going heavy right. I told him before the play, I said, we get this third down stop, I'm going to come out here and block this field goal. I told Lee, Tyron, I told all my team, I said, I'm going to block the field goal for us. Then the hole came open, I blocked it. Then the rest was history.
And after a WVU 3-and-out, it was Sean Martin's turn to be the hero. His field goal block put the victory on ice as Martin rejected a 55-yard try with only 32 seconds left.
The previous play, they took my sack away. I was pretty mad. So coach told us to come to the sideline. He told us to strike and then just put our arm up. So I strike, put my arm up, about to kick.
On a somber note, WVU did suffer 2 serious injuries in the game. Defensive back Aubrey Burks left with a neck injury, and linebacker Trey Lathan was carted off and needed surgery on an injured leg.
And so as excited as I am for our team, man, I really hurt for Aubrey Burks. You know, that's a scary deal. And like I said, we're getting good reports on him. He's going to stay here tonight as a precaution. And then Trey Lathan, who was just coming into his own and playing great, he gets hurt. He's going to have to stay and probably have surgery here.
That's Neil Brown, and this has been Michael Sussman with your Touchdown City Locker Room Report.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling about the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never? Like never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at Huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston. Or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind, to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
To hear more of the Touchdown City Show, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify.
And welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio with Michael Sussman, who is dressed like Ricky Bobby today. I thought you were like changing tires in a pit What kind of shirt is that?
If you ain't first, you're last. The Melonheads, my slow pitch softball team. We play right here in St. Albans, by the way. Come check us out.
I thought he was going to change my tire when I pulled up. Derek Bailey and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. All right. We're going to do some September grades and just talk about the month of September. And we will continue to interview and talk to guys from the 93 team next week. But I just thought it would be important for us to kind of look a little deeper into the month of September for West Virginia this week. So West Virginia, 4-1. Why does it feel like we're 1-4? Am I being, because I got told I was being too negative last night on Twitter. Not that I care, but
yeah, you do.
No, but are we being too negative? Why does it feel like we're actually 1-4 instead of 4-1?
Well, I mean, the thing is I'm ecstatic that West Virginia's 4-1. Let me go ahead and say that. I didn't think they would win but 5 games all year long, so they've almost met my expectation already, and we're a month into the season. The problem I have is you can still be excited to be 4-1, but you can also look at it, and if you want to call me negative, you can. You can also see and point out issues that are still there. Like, there are still glaring issues that happen week to week to week that have been happening for 5 years now. There's questionable calls. There's points left on the field. There's fourth downs that you don't punt or that you go for it when you could kick a field goal. There's all kinds of things that can still be questioned. Now, both things can be true. And I'm extremely happy that they're 4-1, and no one's more happy for Neil Brown than I am, because I really like Neil as a person. I think he's a great dude. But, like, you know, the people that want to call you negative, it's not being negative. It's just being realistic. Like, it's okay to be realistic and not saying, oh, well, West Virginia's going 15-0, they're going to win the national title every year. You can't do that. It's just being realistic.
So I'm going to go back like I always tell my kids. Nobody remembers anything before the but, Derek. All that good stuff you said about him, but nobody remembers that. So I will say, if we are really considering the culture that we have, and culture is a big word for you know our team that we have, check out the demeanor of our head coach, and you know it all funnels down. I mean, maybe somebody is giving him grief about whatever it is on the sideline, but if you look at his post game interviews. While he's on the field being interviewed by the reporter, it's never like he is super excited. I cannot find the excitement in a win. It is hard to win on any level, anytime, unless you're playing St. Albans or Capital High School right now.
Easy now.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, they're getting beat like 80-something to 7. I almost thought about putting my name in the hat. Like, look, let's see if we could turn it around. But on the other side of it, guys, you want to realize why is he not excited about getting a win? Like, a win is a win. I don't care if it's against, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor. Like, it's hard to win.
So should we be taking the Raiders, just win, baby? Even if it's 3-2 every always. Week, we should be excited about it?
You have to be.
That's just where we're at right now.
I mean, that's all you can rationally expect of anybody. That's doing your job if you're Neil Brown, getting victories. But the problem is the indicator moving forward when you still see an inefficient or insufficient passing game and poor clock
dead
management.
Man walking. That's what it all, like, everybody, I have one person that every week in church, he's like, man, I'm telling you, we're going to win 9 games this year. I'm like, how in the world are we going to win 9? I mean, I'm going to choose us to win every time because I just believe the guys on the field have if you're on the field, you have an opportunity to win. But with the way things are going, it's hard.
I mean, I really don't know what to think. I mean, I'm going to be honest, because it's the first time he's ever won 4 games in a row as WVU's head coach. I mean, it's 5 years in. It's fantastic to win, and that's what he's supposed to do, and the games are ugly, but that's how they need to play because they are a running team. The games are going to be ugly because they're going to try to control the ball. I don't care if they win 15 games in a row, 3-2. I'll take it.
I had this conversation. I don't think it's about what's currently happening. I think it has everything to do with what we've seen the whole body. I'm judging right now by the whole body of work.
Right.
And even these 4 wins in a row are not enough to make me fall in love.
He's 500. With 4 wins in a row, he's 25-25 as WVU's head coach. If people are going to tell me 500 is good enough at WVU, that's fine. Then keep him.
The reason it feels like we're 1-4 is just the quality of football. I mean, you all went to the Pitt game. Were you entertained in the first half at all?
No, but I was entertained when they played Sweet Caroline.
That was phenomenal.
That was entertaining.
Except when my kids were in the state.
All right, let's talk a little bit about let's talk about Nico and Garrett Green. What are your thoughts of the two quarterbacks so far? Let's grade them. Let's talk a little bit about Garrett Green. What's excited you about him, and then give him a grade.
So Garrett Green I'm comparing him to the mobile quarterbacks that I've played with, that I've seen. Pat White and Rasheed Marshall. I didn't even see Mage play. So those two are I'm gauging. If you're going to be a running quarterback, I need that type of special. Is he going to win Big Ten, Big 12 Player of the Year? No. If you can't do that, we're struggling. So that's kind of where you know, the body of work of what I'm judging him on. As a passer, I don't see him. But last night, I promise you, he was throwing that pill around. Like, it wasn't very accurate, but he was throwing it with some velocity that I really, really loved to see that he was doing. So overall, I would say Garrett Green, I'm going to give him a C because he is winning. So for me, a quarterback is really gauged on wins. I don't care if it's 2-3, 3-4. If you are ahead, you're going to you can't be a D. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm going to give him a C, but I will say this. I do see growth in him. I do see growth. I have seen growth. Let me say that.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give him a little bit of a higher grade than Avon did, because I'm going to give him a B-. And that's because I think his running is – he is a good runner. He's a good athlete. Like, there's a place on the field for that guy. He's a good runner. I think he's a below-average passer. He does throw it, but he doesn't necessarily throw it. Absolutely. You have no idea where it's going. However, when he – I mean, you know, he's leading the team to wins. They've won some games with him. He's broke off some nice runs. He's done a good job, and I think he's kind of fiery, which, you know, you need that emotion when you're out there. So I'll give him a B-, although I think he's just a very average, maybe even slightly below average college football quarterback.
Solid C. Solid C is about right for me. You know what you get out of Garrett Green, and he short arms the short ball, and he doesn't have the playmakers downfield to have his back in the passing game. So it's a tough spot, but I'm going to put him at a C. For the same reason you said, he's doing his job. Nobody expected us to beat Penn State.
He's really close to a B-. I'm going to give him a C+. I see a ceiling, though. He reminds me, you said Rasheed Marshall. He reminds me a lot of Rasheed. Rasheed will tell you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. Rasheed was not the greatest passer in the world, but he can move the chains. And this, I see him as a young, like an early 2001 Rasheed. You know, like still trying to figure it out. But when it clicks, it's going to click for him.
Michael hit the nail on the head here, too, though. They don't have a lot of help back there as far as playmakers.
I would disagree with you on that. I think we do. I just think he needs to be better and not put himself as high as he think he is.
All right. Real quick. I mean, so far what we've seen out of Nico, and I'll start this one off. I think Nico is probably a C- player right now. Still needs some development. Doesn't have great wheels like Green, which is why he gets the green light and needs to work on his passing.
Yeah, I would go D. I mean, he just needs time.
I'd give him a C because I think he's been average or below as well. I don't think either one of them has been very spectacular or anything, but he's not as good as runner as Green. That's why I would give Green a B- and Nico a C.
Yeah, D has not lived up to expectations in the past game through an ill-advised interception last week. We expected way more.
Real quick, let's talk about C.J. Donaldson and the running backs with White and Justin Johnson. Let's talk about them as a unit. I'm going to give this group a B, although it's as a group, because I don't see Donaldson living up to what my expectations for him have been this year.
And what did you give him? I was just thinking as you were
I gave
talking.
Him, as a group, I gave him a B.
As a group, I'm going to give them, I mean, because where they are right now, I can't subscribe to that. I'm going to give them C-. I'm not going to give them a D because, again, they are winning. I'm going to give them C-. But there are – I mean, there's room for growth. There's obviously room for growth. We're, you know, five games into the season, and things have to change for them to get – I mean, that is – it is – I think it's, CJ had, what, 2.9 yards a carry. That is below – I mean, he's 6 foot. He should fall for 3 just going forward. So, for me, that is – And again, that's That's coaching, I would say. That's coaching.
I'm going to give them as a group a D. Because flat out, how many 100-yard games do they have combined? What, one?
Yeah.
One guy's ran for 100 yards. 100-yard game. You know, I don't know what the issue is, but they can't seem to get going. And even before the season started, you have three all-conference offensive linemen.
Right.
With that running back room, somebody should be able to crack 100 yards more than once. I give them a D. Donaldson, maybe we overhyped him. Maybe there's something wrong. I don't know. He hasn't looked the part. I think White needs more carries, but I give them a D overall because they can't, like, I expected way more out of the running backs.
I'm going to go with C minus for the reason that you just said. When the strength of your team is five returning offensive linemen, you need more out of that spot.
All right, let's talk about Coach Neil Brown. We're going to skip over a few of the positions I had on the sheet. But for me right now, I'm looking at the whole body of work. I'm going to give him a D. And honestly, and it goes back to this. The timeouts, the clock usage, even last night, the silly third down play instead of just running the football. D. Yeah, I mean, just crazy. The timeouts last week, he's driving me crazy.
Yeah, no, for me, I mean, he's a D minus for me. You know, he's at 50%. That's actually an F. So I'm, matter of fact, I'm going to give him an F because that to me is below. I mean, what talent that you have is bad.
I mean, I'm going to go D as well. They're 4-1 this year, which is great, and it's his first 4-game win streak at WVU, so that pulls him up to me for a D. But he's shown nothing spectacular, 25-25. I mean, it is what it is. It's 500.
For this season, I give him a B. You're 4-1. You're in contention. You're tied for first in the conference. F-minus as an offensive coordinator.
F-minus.
No doubt. I will back that up. All right, coming up, don't forget to listen for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. The phone number, 304-9696-TDC. Again, 304-9696-TDC. We'll do all that after this.
Tired of carrying a plain old debit card? Get a custom card from Summit Community Bank. You can show off your unique style every time you make a purchase. Whether it's a photo of your family, your pet, or your favorite vacation spot, we'll put it right on your card. And when it comes to security and service, custom cards come with the same chip technology and our signature service beyond expectations. Upgrade your wallet today by stopping by your local branch. We're proud to be your hometown bank, Summit Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals. And their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. It is that time of the week where we get to do the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. Again, the phone number, 304-9696-TDC, 304-9696-TDC, or it's 304-969-6832. The trivia question this week. What number did Chuck Howley wear at West Virginia? What number did Chuck Howley wear at West Virginia? Again, 304-9696-TDC. It's for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. All right, Michael, what's going on in sports?
We bring up Chuck Howley because he's finally in the Hall of Fame and will get his number retired at Milan Puskás Stadium. Anthony, what does this mean?
Well, first of all, there was a lot of people upset that it took so long, so let me explain it real quick. you have to be in a Hall of Fame. You have to be in the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame or the College Football Hall of Fame to get your number retired at West Virginia. So Major's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Daryl Talley's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Ira Rogers. And he finally got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sam Huff, same deal. They just announced he was in. They sped up the process, and they're going to retire his number while he's still living. So kudos to West Virginia. So it's not WVU's fault. That's just the rule, and it's a high standard, and I'm for high standards when Absolutely. You're retiring somebody's For sure. number. So it's awesome. Chuck Howley is one of the all-time greats at WVU in the NFL. Is the only person to play in a Super Bowl and get the MVP on a losing team. A hell of a football player.
That is stud muffin.
All right. As most of you probably know, Colorado's coming to the Big 12 next season. An announcer for Fox said that the Buffaloes would be the favorite to win the entire conference next year. Thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, Deion's going to do a good job, but the hype is so overwhelming right now. They're not – even if – Utah's coming with Colorado. Utah on paper right now is better than Colorado. Utah would have a better chance to win the Big 12 next year than Colorado. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I mean, and it's fine to want to have that big story because it's such a large story because Deion's such a polarizing person and, you know, he's going to bring confidence and everything, and that's great. But they're not going to be the favorite. I bet you Las Vegas won't have them even as the betting favorite to win that conference next year.
I think they were drinking in the booth yesterday.
One of the best plays in college football, Michigan's Roman Wilson's catch yesterday versus Nebraska. We'll start with our Wolverine over here. What'd you see?
Man, he's got 8 touchdowns in 4 games. I think he's on the Desmond Howard pace the year Desmond Howard won the Heisman. But that catch he made yesterday was unbelievable. If anybody remembers Tyrone Prothro's catch where he pinned it on the guy's helmet, Roman Wilson made a similar catch leaping, but he was facing the defensive back was like in his face. Same type catch, unbelievable catch, and I'm happy for Roman Wilson because he's a really good player.
What a grab. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely the highlight of the week in college football. And it was interesting to see Michigan throwing the football yesterday. So, I mean, it was a heck of a grab. Probably the play of the week, if not a contender for play of the year.
Oh, no, the kid for BYU made a better catch for a touchdown against Arkansas. Did you all not see that one? Against Arkansas in a 31-all game, a dude made an extending one-handed catch in the corner of the end zone to win the game. This is a game winner. Unbelievable catch for the BYU kid.
The Kentucky Wildcats rout Florida. A good little day on the ground for Ray Davis. 280 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Now, see, I sat down and I watched this game. This was a noon slot game. He had 206 yards at halftime. He had a 74-yard run where he was untouched. Not sure what Florida's problem is. They've been bad for several years now. But, you know, congratulations to Kentucky. They're 5-0 and headed to Athens, Georgia for a showdown with the Georgia Bulldogs where they're probably going to be a heavy underdog. But, hey, good for Kentucky.
That's why they line them up and play. Hey, listen, this kid's been – he's the real deal. He's been impressive this year. You know, watching him run through Florida's defense, who traditionally is stacked up front, he almost broke the – Kentucky single game rushing record yesterday.
They took him out at 286 with like 4 minutes left, and then the backup running back broke like a 25-30 yard runner. He'd have set that record.
Yeah, for me, I'm leaving him in. I'm trying to break the record because, first of all, it's not like you're playing Duquesne or Long Island. You're playing Florida.
Yeah.
I'm giving him the rock, and I'm letting him go over and get that record.
Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal.
The Longhorns roll again, 40-10 over Kansas. Unfortunately for the Jayhawks, Jalen Daniels re-aggravates his injury and has to stay back at the hotel. Where are the Longhorns right now?
I watched this game as well, and, you know, that kid for Kansas, the backup can really throw it. He's not as good as Daniels, though. This game was 20-14 in the third quarter, and Kansas had the football and went for a fourth down. It was fourth and inches. Yeah. Did you see it? And they ran a play, didn't get it. At that point in the game, it was kind of over because Texas took full control. I still think Texas is phenomenal. We'll find out more this weekend. They play Oklahoma. They have a great defense. They're great on both lines, which that wins in football.
Texas is back, man. I don't know. He didn't want to say it, but Texas is the best. They are the best team in America right now. They are the best team in America. They will beat Georgia today. Like, they are that good.
I was actually looking forward to this game because everybody knows I'm a Jalen Daniels fan, right?
He didn't even start.
And he got hurt. He re-aggravated it in the hotel Saturday morning. Yeah. Who knows who knows what. But, you know, it was just disappointing because I really thought this was going to be the real spot where we get to see where Kansas is, and we didn't get to see Jalen.
what happened to Central Florida yesterday, giving up 26-point lead in the fourth quarter, 36-35 you lose.
So I sat down to turn this one on, and I flip it on, and it goes 21-0 in a hurry. Central Florida's out in the first quarter. I was like, okay. So I sat there, it went to 28-7, 35-7. I turn it off. I was like, okay, this game's over. I'm turning it off. I happened to pull up my scoreboard about an hour, hour and a half later, and I see the score, and it's 35-26. So I was like, well, I'm going to flip it back. As I flip it back, Baylor picks up a ball and runs it in for a touchdown from like 65 yards out, 35-32, kick the extra point. Then they go on and win. I have no idea what happened all in between that, but just wild. Just that's a Big 12 game. That's just a wild game.
Yeah, they scare me. Baylor, because that right there can be the turning point in their season. And Central Florida is super explosive. When I saw that, I was like, good, because, you know, we got to go play Central Florida, and Baylor's down. That right there kind of twisted everything up for me.
That could send Central Florida to like the basement of the Big 12, and it could elevate Baylor to the top five or six of the Big 12, which the way Baylor's looked so far, you wouldn't expect that out of them.
No, not this year.
Anthony, where's the Jacksonville State shirt this week?
It's in the wash. I wore it twice this week, but I had to wear it. I wore it last Sunday, and then, of course, I wore it on game night. So big win for Jacksonville State over Sam Houston. Had to come from behind. Rich Rod and the boys. So I know people hate when I talk about Rich Rod, but
we're just keeping an eye on the situation. Calm down. Right.
But I'll tell you another guy I might want to keep an eye on is the guy from Duke. Now, I know they lost last night, but that team is so much better. I mean, they're 4-1. That Elko, he looks like he's got it going on at Duke.
But if you look at that coach lost that game for him. I don't know if you realize, like, his demeanor was not, like, if you watched him against Clemson and then you watched him against this, it was terrible.
Let's look ahead in October real quick, because I want to divide the year into months. West Virginia's 4-1. We go to Houston, home against Oklahoma State, and Central Florida. What do you think can happen for West Virginia sitting at 4-1, which only Avon thought we'd be here? I think that's a lie, but that's what he picked.
That's what I picked.
But so you have three what I consider winnable games coming up on the schedule.
Without question. I think you should take care of business against what's been one of the worst teams in the conference in Houston, although I think Dana will be ready. Oklahoma State's down, Central Florida. We saw what they did on Saturday. Should go 3-0.
I agree with this 3-0. I mean, your worst case scenario to me is 2-1. I think Houston's the worst team in the conference. I think Dana gets fired after West Virginia beats them on Thursday night. Mike Gundy's in his last year at Oklahoma State. I don't think he's going to come back. I don't know. They're just not very good this year. And Central Florida's 0-2 in the conference. The newcomers are combined 1-7, and the only win is BYU beat Cincinnati. This should be a 3-0 month, 7-1.
I agree. It should be a 3-0 month. I mean, we're rolling right now. And I'm just trying to get that energy that I need for us to be where we need to be.
Yeah, and I think maybe this month has been a little draining, just watching. And really, for me, it was about processing. I had to wake up this morning and accept this is who we are, and this is how we're going to play. So I accepted it. Today I'm excited that we're 4-1. But I still think, man, this team could be 7-1 going into November, which is hard to believe after what we've watched the last 4 years.
I love this brand of football, let me say that. I know a lot of people consider it boring and everything, but this is like old school football. Punch you in the mouth, run the ball, play some solid defense, win the game, wear them down. That's how you play, in my opinion. I mean, that's football to me. If you can control the clock and score touchdowns, you're going to win. I mean, run the football. That's what I like.
Yeah, West Virginia cannot have a slip up at Houston, because I think the game of the month is at the end when they go to Orlando to play Central Florida. We shall see. But for the listeners, thank you guys so much for listening to the Touchdown City Show this week. And for any other information that you need, swing by touchdowncity.com. We'll see you next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.